This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. Anthony Herron.
All we got to do is do our job and punch him in the mouth every single play. Yeah.
Football insider for 670 The Score.
We do what we do. We drive all game long.
And Fox 32.
The majority of folks here in my life do pronounce it Herron. Even like my pops, who he should know how our last name is pronounced.
And the Pac-12.
How many jobs you got?
One.
One job.
And Big Ten Sirius XM.
Whole lot of Herron out there.
Anthony Herron talking ball with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Before I bring Big Ant on the show, let me just tell you that it's an audience of one, but I am loving how Will County is just cracking back on itself. People like, no, that was Wilmington, or as we like to call it, Wiltucky. No, that was Coal City. Like, everyone is just, anyone who lives in Will County is taking a shot at another city in Will County, and I am here for it. So if you want to keep texting your shots about Lauren and where he's doing those pool parties at in Will County, send them our way. 670-11 is the Tech Zone. Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time and shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Okay, now we can talk with Big Ant Herron, who works for everybody. Most importantly, though, he's a Score football analyst. And that's why we love having him on, because he knows a little bit of everything, and we'll tell you a little bit of everything about everything. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from, and their service department is open, alpamonteford.com. Mr. Herron, how are you today?
Loho, doing well, man. What's the deal with these pool parties? What did I miss? What's going on out here?
Okay, well, here's what happened. We were talking about injuries that you get, and those injuries that you weren't expecting, like you weren't playing anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it started with me talking about waking up with a pulled muscle from sleeping. That's where it started. Okay. And so this guy said, I tore a rotator cuff at one of my naked pool parties in Will County.
One of my pool parties.
Yes, he has these frequently from what he had told us, and he was trying to boost a young lady up. And in my mind, I'm thinking that the way he did it is, you know how like sometimes at basketball games or football games, you'll see the guy hoist the cheerleader up? Mm-hmm. I think that's what he was doing. and he hurt himself. But most people are now intrigued with his naked pool parties that he has in Will County. And everyone is trying to figure out where that type of activity goes down. So a lot of people in Will County are giving me ideas. It's Morris. It's Marengo. It's Manuka. It's anywhere in Will County. So that's where that comes from.
So he didn't present these as being, like, open to the public. This is kind of a private invitation-only sort of deal?
Okay. He said that he lives on 22 acres and doesn't have any neighbors. And that's why he can have the naked pool parties. I asked him if he was a cult leader. He said he is not a cult leader, but there are a lot of people that would join his church if he were to open one up. That's all I gotta say.
I mean, it's either Chicagoland Hugh Hefner, perhaps. I mean, I'm assuming Hef at the mansion had a few naked pool parties, from what I understand. I never got invited. You know, that's a little before my time. But I would say maybe that would be my guess. That's the first guess that pops into my head. He's the Chicagoland Hugh Hefner.
Well, wait, but because Hugh Hefner is Chicago Hugh Hefner, because he's a Hyde Park guy.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I just assumed he was Cali.
He moved it out there, but I want to say Playboy's offices were in downtown Chicago originally, and I know that Hugh Hefner had a place in Hyde Park.
Like, why hasn't there been a biopic on that dude's life, by the way?
I think there might be some problematic stuff.
I mean, isn't that what makes a biopic great, when there's problematic stuff?
I do think that they did one. I think there was a series, maybe, like an FX series. Huh. I think that's right, but right. Yeah, I guess now there's going to be a 9-part series on Tom Brady.
I saw that,
and I'm interested in it for sure. I wonder if they'll have our buddy and your brother Hawkeye, Matt Bowen, on, since he was the pick right before Tom Brady, and we know that Tom holds a grudge against everyone, right, just like Jordan did. So I imagine Matt Bowen will be on there going, "What did I do? I just got picked one pick ahead of you. That's not my fault." Anyway, so that's what's been going on. So I had other stuff that I wanted to ask you, but before I get to the football stuff, and we're talking with Big Ann Heron here on The Score, what did you think of how The Last Dance wrapped up?
I enjoyed it, man. I mean, I think that the aftermath, kind of the fallout with Horace and company coming out, kind of throwing bows at MJ, it probably should have been assumed or expected to some extent. You know, I mean, everybody's not depicted completely in the most positive of light. So I could see where guys had some issues with a couple of things. I didn't necessarily think Scotty came off that in such a negative light. I didn't think they necessarily showed as much of his excellence as they perhaps could have in a 10-part series. But certainly the episode that was kind of devoted to Scotty, I thought he came off exceptionally well in that one. Certainly showed some other great moments, and there was a couple of things they glossed over when they were going through that 94-95 time period. I thought they could have spent some more time on MJ's baseball dalliance and how well he ended up kind of beginning to do at the minor league level. And then I thought they certainly could have given a little bit of a deeper dive into how great Scotty was in that initial season that Mike was gone. And I thought those things were touched on. I thought they were referenced. I thought a deeper dive, I certainly would have enjoyed even more in-depth looks at what made MJ start to perform so well and how well Scotty really played. And, you know, obviously it's a difficult thing, even with a 10-part series, to try and get all that in when you're kind of covering the full scope of the dynasty. But overall, I enjoyed it. I'm not sure if I look at it as the greatest sports documentary ever, like some folks are talking about. I think it's very personal to us, because we grew up or we covered or just enjoyed watching the Bulls dynasty as it played out. And as Chicagoans and as a country, I think folks really got a kick out of it. I certainly did. I think, like, the OJ documentary is, to me, on another level from what I felt like I really got out of The Last Dance. But I definitely enjoyed it.
Was there anything that you felt like you needed from it that you didn't get?
I mean, I certainly... Me and my wife were talking about this a lot. I get where, was it Jason Hayer, the director, right? I get where there's some quotes out there where he's saying, like, he didn't necessarily feel he needed the perspective of Juanita Jordan. I think it would have added to it, even if it wasn't, hey, let's go into what happened
their
in
marriage.
Our marriage or anything.
Right.
But she was there. Like, if we, you know, we got like a 15-second blurb from each of his kids in the very last episode that seemed pretty unnecessary. They didn't really add anything to it. But I think Juanita,
felt thrown in.
Yeah. Yeah. Very thrown in. You know, Mike probably just said, hey, let me make sure we get my kids some airtime here. So it gave him some quick airtime. But Juanita could have legitimately added to some of the human end of what we didn't know or didn't appreciate about Mike, because he was fairly private with most things related to his personal life. We knew a lot about his dad. We knew a lot about Dolores, who has aged in reverse somehow. We didn't necessarily know as much about how things weighed on him, what the pressure was associated with that, and if they are on, well, what is reported as amicable terms at this point, I feel I certainly would have enjoyed and gotten a lot out of hearing from Juanita in her perspective on how things were going down throughout the early stages of his career and certainly what was happening during the 90s.
Let's talk football. Big Ann Heron played football. He's one of our football analysts here on The Score. Looking at the proposals that are out there, some of the things that have been leaked by Albert Breer, the IR, them adding some more designated guys to the IR is something. Are there any rule changes that you think the NFL should make from what you're already seeing and hearing?
I mean, I think rules changes, especially when it comes to football, to the NFL, they tend to stay ahead of the curve on it. So it doesn't surprise me that they're going down this road. I don't necessarily feel that adjusting the onside kick is going to be something that necessarily changes the game. But because the onside kick is, and just the kicking game itself, kick coverage is in a lot of ways sort of seemingly on its way out, on its last legs, then I suppose it suits where we're at, just with the rules changes associated with football anyway. So it'll be fun if they do it. For me, just as, you know, in football terms, it's kind of an old head at this point. I don't necessarily think I don't feel it's necessary, but I get it. And I like the fact that the NFL doesn't wait. Like, baseball tends to wait until things are absolutely necessary. And there's things that feel necessary that baseball still isn't doing from a rules change standpoint. And the NFL doesn't tend to do that. The NFL tries to get out in front of things. And, you know, even like right now where they're talking about the replay official on pass interference and removing that and that not being around anymore because they gave it a one-year trial and it didn't work out so well. Even going back to before some of your listeners may even recall, there was a period where the NFL tried instant replay for a bit and didn't dig it after a couple of years, and it went away for a little bit, and then it came back once they felt like they had a better system in place. So this has kind of been the history of the NFL and their willingness to continue to tweak things and adjust things and stay sort of ahead of the game along those lines. So I love the fact that the league is willing to do that. So the onside kick change, if they get rid of that and they're saying they're going to go to this, you know, 4th-and-15 deal, all right, I guess it'll be cool. It'll be fine. It'll be kind of fun. Doesn't feel necessary. Whereas the whole sky judge element and the potential for removing the pass interference review, I think those would be things that would likely add to the game itself.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's something that you can take away from the XFL to bring the sky judge in. And it's in just an opportunity to get things right. Like, that's an important goal for the NFL to get things right. If you were getting ready to play and you were someone that you lived on the edge as far as NFL rosters went,
mm-hmm.
What would you want, and how willing would you be to go to an NFL facility once they opened up?
Like, for me, like for where I was at in my career, there was points where, you know, I maybe felt a roster spot was more solid in a particular season. There were more often than not times where I was on the outskirts and wasn't necessarily sure. Didn't buy a house at any point in my 5 years in the NFL. Like, I waited. The first home we bought was after my NFL career was over, because that was the first point where I said, all right, I got a little more control over where my location is going to be. And so for me, if there was a stretch where I didn't have access to a team facility, I would go and just work out at some public fitness center, 24-hour fitness or whatever. So just putting myself in that mental frame of mind where I didn't have my own kind of personal fitness center downstairs at a palatial estate, then yes, having access to the team facility, I would certainly get as much detail as I could from everyone, you know, associated with the squad, to say that, you know, just to know what protocols are in place, not only just, you know, their cleanliness at the facility, but, you know, what's going to be expected of me from a temperature check standpoint. How frequently will I and teammates and coaches and everyone else in the facility be wearing masks? I would want to know what's going on just so I know what the information is and what I'm getting myself into, what level of risk, you know, could I personally kind of be assessing that I would be getting into. But when it came down to that, after I collected the information, yeah, I would want access to the facility, and I would, you know, perhaps tell my folks if I lived near my parents at that time, like, hey, I'm probably not going to be seeing you for a few weeks just in case, you know, even if I was around them prior to that. So I would take some additional precautions outside of the facility. But, you know, with knowing that that would give me a better leg up to continue my playing career, especially as a guy towards the bottom of a roster. Yeah, I'd see myself going back in and getting my work in at the facility.
All right, now let me tap into Anthony the dad. Let's fast forward 16, 17 years. Bishop is a football player.
Mm-hmm.
How comfortable would you be in this environment with sending him back to campus?
That's the thing, man. I think college sports, I view it through a different lens than the discussion we have about the NFL because, you know, with college campuses opening back up, yeah, as a player, I would have wanted to go back in. But I think the discussion, like there was a piece that Dan Wolkin wrote where he was saying that this would be probably the optimal time for college athletes, especially, you know, the revenue sports, football, basketball, to unionize, just like Northwestern tried to do a while back. And I think from a leverage standpoint, that's true. That's accurate. It still, even with everything going on right now, doesn't feel likely to me. But I think it's incumbent upon the parents to advocate for their kids in this situation, because whether or not their son or daughter wants to get back to campus as quickly as possible and wants to start getting those workouts in, parents still need to get as educated on the situation as they can. Well, what protocols are in place at that college campus, at that university? What are the safety measures that they're taking to make sure that they're trying to make that environment as feasible as possible to try and avoid some kind of rampant infestation of the coronavirus? And there's no 100% version of that, but to make sure that as many precautions as are available to them are being taken. And if that's not the case, then I would tell my son to sit out, and I would tell the coach that he'll be back when you put me at ease, that you're at least doing everything you can to keep my kids safe, because there's already a level of risk associated with the sport that's being competed in, with your kid being away from home. You can't put them in bubble wrap, but this is still very new. And I think a lot of us are getting into the mental mind frame that we got all the information we need right now. And it's just not the case, man. The top scientists in the world are still a few months into really collecting data on this. So for me as a parent, I want to ask as many questions as I can. I would want to be the stage dad. I would get in the coach's ear and the head trainers and doctor's ears just to know, what are you doing? And if they put me at ease, then cool, Bishop, keep me updated and go do your thing. But until that point, then to me, it's really on the parents a lot to get as informed as they can on this, because in the end, the pressure is going to be on the schools, on the conferences, on the NCAA to make this happen, because so much money is involved in it. And the players obviously aren't getting much of that, really any of it when it comes down to it. They're still getting their scholarships, so there's a portion of that compensation going to them. But when it comes down to it, these guys aren't on salary. These ladies aren't on salary. So if you're sending them back to campus and feeling that pressure that would be associated with not losing the additional $4 billion at least dollars that could be at risk here, then I'm not just going to send my kid back to campus because somebody else is worried about losing their job.
Yeah, and I think that the role that the coach plays is going to be a little different now too, where they're going to have to like re-recruit kids, I think, and get the parents on board, but they have to do it in a way that allows them to convey that they have a good understanding of where things are and how the university is approaching it. It can't just be the bombastic coach's coach and he knows what's right. Like, I think there's some real selling that has to go on here.
There should, and I believe there is already to a certain extent, as the reality that states are reopening, universities and the NCAA are putting themselves in a position to reopen as well. Like, the NCAA made their ruling that, okay, we're going to allow the potential for voluntary return to facilities on June 1st. So now we're hearing a lot of teams talking about, okay, we'll give it a week, and then maybe June 8th is when we'll start to allow some folks to come back in. And I think it's right to be in that mindset of seeking a return. Just the big concern is, because so much pressure is on it, that the proper protocol, the proper steps may not get taken, just in feeling like there's a rush. Like Lincoln Riley, the Oklahoma coach, I thought had some really salient points he made about it a little less than a week ago, I think, at this point, where he basically said, what is the rush now? You know, there's so much that we still don't know, that to me, with the season still being months away, and we can provide medical coverage. The NCAA relaxed some rules to allow teams to provide levels of medical coverage to their players where they live, as opposed to a guy having to be on campus and at the school hospital and those types of things. So there's no need to rush the process, because once you ring that bell and bring everybody back, then the floodgates are open to the enhanced level of risk by being around each other to that extent. And I mean, think of like the last college athlete I can think of who died in relation to sports competition was just a couple of years ago. Maryland had an offensive lineman named Jordan McNair who died during football workouts. Northwestern fans who are old enough will remember there was a Northwestern football player a couple of decades ago who died in the midst of football workouts. Just think, it took one NBA basketball player just contracting coronavirus to pretty much shut down the sports world. Think if a college athlete came here, and even though the numbers for those young and in shape and everything else are very low as far as what we associate with the risk associated with those individuals. But if one were to have that happen, or one were to get it and bring it to a parent and have a parent be in peril, that's the thing that everyone wants to be able to avoid. But the pressure of the dollars, the pressure of the finances, I think is pushing this thing forward a little more quickly than some folks are comfortable with.
Big Ann, as usual, I appreciate your time and your perspective. You do a great job, and I knew that you would give a well-rounded answer to that question, having the perspective of being someone that played big-time college football and now being a parent. I'm glad that you broke it down the way that you did, because I think there are a lot of parents, and it doesn't have to be football. I mean, it could be the sports that are going to survive this, that there are a lot of parents that are wondering whether or not it's the right decision to send their student back to campus, and I can't blame them for that.
Man, the thought of having a player, whether male or female, go and be out there competing and to contract this and have it turn bad, have it go really bad. I mean, hopefully everybody who gets it, and you know, you got to figure out, all right, if one offensive lineman has it, then maybe we shut down the entire offensive line group or whatever. Those discussions are being had. But if one of them goes bad, just think about the ramifications of what would take place from that, from something that to some extent would be viewed as avoidable if they weren't all brought back, especially if there wasn't rampant testing available. And obviously there's not going to be a vaccine in place for the foreseeable future here to get through what's right now scheduled for this coming football season. So, you know, that ship, I don't think that's sailing anytime soon. But that to me, and I do hear, you know, certain individuals talking along those lines. I just hope that's on the forefront of the minds of folks who end up making the decisions, and not something that gets pushed to the back burner because of all the financial pressures with it. Because I don't want to give the impression the money doesn't matter. The money is extremely important, and there are so many jobs on the line associated with this. But then you're going to ask essentially the unpaid labor to be the ones to take the biggest risk associated with this. All right, maybe we won't have any fans. Maybe we'll just have a few fans. But players, you return to the same environment you were in with virtually the same level of physical risk that would have been there before with this new virus that we're still discovering. It's just there's an inequity there that's, you know, there's always been some inequity when we're talking about some things like this, but the enhanced inequity of take the physical risk of a virus that we still don't have figured out yet, and there's not a vaccine for, and you're just getting your same scholarship that's been gotten for generations and generations. That to me is an inequity that would be really unfortunate if folks don't have a level of balance to the way these decisions play out.
Have a wonderful weekend, sir.
Loho, you too. Tell Panther I said, hey, man.
I will do that. That is Big Ant Heron.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.